Verse 41. Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. Now when he says, I am the bread that came down out of heaven, obviously he's referring to something that is figurative. It is not meant to be a literal statement. It is, well, in a sense it was literal, wasn't it? Because he did in fact come down out of heaven in so many words. But the point that he was trying to bring out, saying, I am the bread that came down out of heaven, was a figurative statement. But let's continue. They were saying, is not this Yahshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Yahshua answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. Why are you muttering? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of Yahweh. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. But of course, the implication behind those words is that they hear and they learn because their hearts are geared towards Yahweh. Their hearts are geared towards spiritual things. The ones whose hearts are not so, of course, are not going to learn, because in essence, they will be hard-hearted. Or at the very least, they will be disinterested and indifferent. And then continuing in verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from Elohim. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give, which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Uh-oh. Now we run into really serious trouble. Now he's talking about cannibalism, right? He's going to eat my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I mean, do you see how literal they were taking him here? And this was a problem. So Yahshua said to them, truly, truly I say to you, you think he would clarify the situation necessarily? No, he goes deeper into this. Truly I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. How do you think that one went over? They must have been horrified at that point. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And by this time, of course, you have a number of people who think that he is out of his mind. He's lost it. Did he? Of course not. He was bringing forth a spiritual teaching, and anyone whose heart was geared in that direction surely understood that. Let's continue in verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? I can't believe this. How can we eat flesh and drink blood? It's a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Yahshua, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? Now notice who it is in this passage that's saying this. In this case, this is not the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers and the lawyers. This is his disciples. That's significant. If his own disciples, obviously amongst his own disciples, and we're not necessarily talking about the 12 per se, but he had many, because he had many disciples, which is something a lot of people lose sight of. He had many disciples. But if this is his disciples, imagine what the rest of the indifferent society around him was thinking in that time. Probably not a whole lot. This is his disciples and they can't comprehend this. But Yahshua, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? If you can't accept this, these words that I'm teaching you, what's going to happen if you see me ascend to heaven? Are you going to believe that? See, obviously there was a spirit of unbelief in these people. We need to read further into this text and understand what's going on here. You know, people who are religiously minded will leave a certain impression, and people who are truly not religiously minded will also leave an impression. Yahshua obviously was reading between the lines here and seeing that there was something disingenuous about some of these disciples. He knew that that was going to be the case. And in a sense, the the wheat was being separated from the chaff in that particular moment, because he knew that there would be some who would not be able to accept these teachings, and it's probably ultimately because they were not sincere to begin with. Okay? Which is not the major point of my lesson, but I want to point out what's going on there. This was not, he wasn't trying to deceive them or trick anyone. This was separating the men from the boys, so to speak, because he knew that there were some there who were not being genuine.